Have you ever wondered how some women get all of what they get done in a day, or even a week, or a month, or a year? I mean, I have that thought, and it's just me and my husband and our cat, Paisley, who doesn't really require a whole lot of work, though she is a very needy cat, I must say. But I admire women who can just knock it off and just get so much done in their day and still do an awesome job raising their families, volunteering, doing all of the stuff. And our guest today is one of those women. Jessica Rosario is our uncharted entrepreneur today. And I'm going to read you her entire biography here because you're going to be blown away, because she's going to teach you, after you hear all the things she does, she's going to teach you today on how she gets it done. And believe me, when you hear this, you're going to be like, yeah, I need to listen to this. So a little bit about Jessica. Jessica is a business consultant and a coach. She's passionate about helping women maximize their days in order to start and grow their businesses. She helps them discover their strengths, create action steps to accomplish their goals, holds them accountable, and educates them on how they can add value to everything they do. She is a SCORE volunteer, newbie registered coach, and a business coach for Eureka, where she helps new entrepreneurs with getting their businesses off the ground and offers invaluable resources to small business owners. Jessica is also a scholarship recipient from the Orlando Minority Business Development Agency, which is awarded annually through the Enterprising Women of Color Initiative. Way to go, Jessica. Jessica is also the creator of the Own It Planner and Journal, which are focused on time management, organization, and mindset. She co-owns a full-service janitorial commercial cleaning business with her husband and business partner. She is also the president and founder of Blossom of Central Florida, a nonprofit organization founded with the purpose of mentoring and helping teenage girls develop the critical life skills they need to blossom into women of purpose. Jessica resides in Orlando, Florida with her husband, and together they are parents to three beautiful daughters, ages 23, 19, and 17. So if you want to hear how Jessica gets it all done, stay tuned. You're going to love this show. Grab a notepad, grab your journal, and take some notes on this one. I even learned a couple of things that I'm super excited to implement into my business, and I think you will as well. Okay, on to the show. Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you are ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter, a visionary strategist, a highly driven entrepreneur, and a lover of adventures. I'm here to help you navigate the sea of business and life and show you the true freedom of being an uncharted entrepreneur. If you are ready to tap into bold courage and live the life you're called to create, join me on this journey. Let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome to the show, Jessica. I'm so glad to have you here today. And Jessica and I have become new business friends, and it's been so watching each other's businesses. And it's just funny how sometimes things align and we connect with people and find people who are meant to be in our lives and follow the similar paths, but different paths, so you can learn from each other. And I'm glad to have you on the show today. So welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, and I am so, so thankful to have met you in, I don't even know, all of a sudden you started popping up in other groups that I was in, and I was like, wait, where did I meet you again? So it was great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I know sometimes we're in you're in overlapping groups with people. It's like, I don't even know where we first connected, but it doesn't really matter. So, So I always like to start the show off with a couple of just fun questions. And if we were able to meet in person, we were going to one of your favorite places to have a fun beverage, what would we be sipping on and where would we be going, Jessica?
I would say somewhere on the beach and sipping on a mango frozen margarita.
Ooh, that sounds
good. I said it backwards, right? Frozen mango margarita. Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care how you say it. It sounds yummy. Everybody has the beach on their mind. It's like, I think probably 95% of my guests always say the beach, the ocean. Definitely draws
to us. Yeah, especially this past year, you know, we haven't been able to get out much. So anything where the ocean and that salt water and, you know, just the birds and it's just anything outside.
Mm-hmm. The sunshine. Oh, I need the sunshine. Mm-hmm. Well, you get the sunshine. You have the sun. We don't have the sunshine up here. And if you could have your office, Jessica, anywhere in the world, or at least have the view you wanted, where would that be? What would that look like?
I would say also beachfront, somewhere in like Aruba, somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, where my desk specifically looks right out the massive window in the front or in the back, depending on the front of the house, right? Just looking at the ocean, just very serene. That's the type of environment I like to be in.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Yeah, picture that. I can picture that. And then you could take a break and go have your mango margarita, right?
Margarita, right. Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, where you are today, but then I always like to go to the backstory because that's where I hope people get inspired by hearing the backstory of people of like what made them decide to become, I call it the uncharted entrepreneurs, to step out, to step away from the safety, step away from the known into an unknown territory. And, you know, it does take guts and it's scary and we don't know if we should do it. And a lot of times we have people telling us, are you crazy? You haven't made and all these things. So tell us, you know, where you are today. We'll come back to a lot of that, but where you are today and then how you got there.
Sure. So I am a business productivity coach and I've been working my business full time since December 13th was my last day when I walked away from the corporate world of 2019. So it's been a little over a year now. In the past, I was in a leadership position. I worked for several financial institutions. I was in the banking industry for 25 years. And I loved it. I did. I loved it at the time. And I was living in New York and moved to Florida in order to be able to, you know, provide a better life for my kids. And, you know, I had recently been divorced and I just felt that New York was just no longer a place for a single mom to raise her daughters, you know, so I relocated to Florida. And when I first moved to Florida, I felt this sense of misplacement, let's just say, just feeling like, okay, I have to start from scratch. I don't want to go back into banking. I don't know what I want to do, but I want to do something. I just don't know what. And I wanted something that was going to help me feel like I was walking in my purpose. And I took a job when I first got out here for a nonprofit organization. And then a couple of months later, I realized that I had been living on a Florida budget with a New York income, or backwards. You know what I'm trying to say. I was living on a New York budget with a Florida income. Boom, got it right. And I knew that I needed to go back into the banking world because that's where I knew there was potential for six figures or more. So I went back into the banking industry and I wound up working for this one company, climbed my way up the corporate ladder once again, because of course, you know, sometimes you have to take a step backwards in order to propel forward. And when I got to the top, I was like, this is not what I want. And I realized that there was more to me than can meet the eye. So I started working on that. And I created a nonprofit organization to help teenage girls with leadership development and mentoring and just life skills in general. And I was loving what I was doing. And then I became a people magnet for other people that were looking to launch nonprofit organizations. And in a mastermind that I was in 2017, my coach said to me, Jessica, what are you doing? You need to be coaching people. This is like, you're basically taking over. You need to create this. And I was like, me, a consultant, a business coach? I don't know what you're talking about. And that's just kind of what brought me forward. So 2018, I started to take on paid clients. And I did it strictly as a side hustle, did the same in 2019. And 2019 was a really tough year for me, family-wise, just a lot of dynamic and family issues. And I realized I didn't want to be in the corporate world anymore because those family-friendly entities, you notice when they're family friendly, when you're actually going through life. And I decided that I no longer wanted that. So I gave my notice, I think around Thanksgiving, and I walked away December 13th and have not looked back since.
Wow. And what did your family or friends say when you were like making that decision to walk away?
Well, first of all, I didn't tell anybody because I was scared to what people were going to say. I will tell you that my husband, we had been building our business, rewind to 2018, where he came home one day after working 70 hours a week and was like, we need to start a business. I want to start a cleaning company. And I was like, really? Well, I know how to build a business. I don't know how to build a cleaning company, but I know how to build a business. So let's do it. And 6 months later, we hit six figures with that company and he was able to walk away from his job. So when it was my turn to walk away, he was like, do it. He was like my biggest cheerleader. Yeah. But realistically, right, if you're familiar with the DISC profile, I'm a high C. So mentally, I was like overanalyzing and thinking, oh my God, there's no way I can do this. There's, you know, how do I do this? You know, how much do I need to budget? And like things like that it was just completely overwhelming. And I remember when I had the conversation with my dad, he was the first one to know. My dad said to me, Jessica, you know, that's a lot of money you're walking away from. And he said, but I have full faith that you can do this. So I don't see why not. And coming from a first generation college graduate, you know, my family put a lot of pressure on me. Let me rephrase that. They didn't put the pressure on me. I think I put the pressure on myself, but you know, they were in awe of me. You know, they had me on this pedestal. And then when they were like, oh, wait, Jessica, she's, you know, a VP or director at a bank and she wants to go where? To quit her job? To do what? Right? It was nerve-wracking. So a lot of people didn't understand it. And my best friend, I didn't tell her over the phone because I knew she was coming down to Florida to visit. And I knew that she was going to tell me, are you crazy? Wake up. And she gets in the car. I pick her up at the airport. She gets in the car. I'm like, Diane, I have something to tell you. I quit my job. And she was like, oh my God, me too.
Oh.
It was so good. It was, you know, it was just such a good experience.
Fun.
It was scary. Don't get me wrong. But mm-hmm. definitely, you know, it was definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said because you liked your job. And I think that's where I feel like a lot of women really struggle with that walking away because mm-hmm. good and they like it. It's not bad. You know, if something's really horrible, it's easier to walk away from or you're being mistreated. You know, there's issues there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's okay and it's good, it's hard to walk away from good to find the great. You know, it's easy to walk away from bad to find the good. Mm-hmm. But to walk away from good for the great, that's where it's challenging. So
yeah,
must have been a really hard decision. What was it? And I'm familiar with DISC. And for anybody that's not, the C is very analytical. They do think about everything, all the details. I have very little C in me, Jessica. That's how I appreciate my life. I am a DIS. C.
Oh, wow.
Literally, it's like these steps, D, then a little bit shorter I, then a little bit shorter S, and then the C is like major drop off the cliff.
That is too funny.
But what was it that finally made you quit overanalyzing it and just do it? Was it that your dad gave you, I don't want to say permission, but kind of blessing? Mm-hmm. What was it that happened or somebody said or that you thought to finally just do it?
So I will say, being in the banking industry for many, many years, I realized, you know, budgeting. And I was not a master budgeted person, but I can tell you that one of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to budgeting is that people assume that you need 6 months of income. And it's really not 6 months of income. It's 6 months of expense, of living expenses, not 6 months for your Netflix, not 6 months for your, you know, eating out, 6 months of your living expenses. And I had already started working on that. So I was actually interviewed by Pat Flynn. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but he has a book called Will It Fly? And he has a podcast called Ask Pat. And I signed up and he interviewed me. And one of the things that he said was, do you see yourself 10 years from now quitting your job or something like that? And I said to him, oh, I see myself quitting my job in 2021. is what I told him. And this was probably summer of 2020. And I said, no, definitely like 2021 is my year. I plan on quitting my job. And that's exactly what happened. Like a couple of months later, going through some family dynamics, I wound up fostering two boys that I did not expect, two of my nephews. And it was not something I expected. And I just started to feel like my world was crumbling down because it was just such this added responsibility. And just so that you understand the background, my two daughters are teenagers. Like I'm about to become an empty nester this week because my daughter is moving out on Thursday. So now I have to start fresh with a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I was like, oh my God, like what is happening? So in that transition, I was able to take, you know, time off at work and stuff like that. But it started to get to a point where I started to become a bother. And when I started to become a bother, I had to, you know, there's a lot of times that I don't care what anybody says. It's like, I would never pick my job over my family. Well, I picked my job over my family many, many times. But this specific instance, there was no way that I can pick my job over my family. There was just no way because I was consumed, overwhelmed, and then depression started to kick in and anxiety started to kick in. And I wound up starting to have panic attacks. And I realized at that point that my health and my family were much more important than a 6-figure job. So I walked away. That was my final decision. I think my final decision too was when I asked for PTO during the holiday and they told me, well, you might be able to work from home, but we have a lot of people out. And I was like, screw this. Last day, December 13th, I gave myself the holiday off.
Nice. There you go. Yeah. Exactly. If you're going to do it, time it right. Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a lot. It's funny how like life, major things in our life sometimes has to happen in order for us to really make that decision that we've been thinking about for a long time.
Absolutely.
What advice would you give to somebody that is considering whether or not they should transition out of a good job again? They have a good job. Mm-hmm. But there's that calling that you had that, wait, there's something more. Or sometimes I say, you know, yeah, you climb the corporate ladder, but then when you look around, you know, it's a cliche statement, you look around, you realize, wait, I'm on the wrong ladder. Like this is not the ladder I was supposed to climb at all. Mm-hmm. Well, get up there. And again, maybe you're happy, but you're just like, I think there's so many women out there and men too, but that just have that stirring that wake up every morning that there's got to be something more than all my life is supposed to be. I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing. So what advice would you give that woman that is going to work at that good job, but has that inside of her that's calling her to do something different, but she's scared? Mm-hmm. How do you like bring her through that? What would you tell her to think or do?
I will say that one of the biggest things that we as women go through is not understanding when we need to listen to our intuition because of fear. Sometimes it's not fear. Sometimes it's just that gut feeling of something courageous that's about to happen. And, you know, my pastor says all the time that sometimes your biggest setback is what's going to give you your biggest comeback, right? And understanding that there's some decisions in life that you need to be courageous, right? And when I walked away, I was completely unprepared. You know, I was completely unprepared. I knew that it was going to be tough. I got really sick immediately after. And a lot of people thought it was COVID, but it wasn't. I just had a really bad sinus infection, but I think it had a lot to do with my emotional, mental health, right? And I had to take a step back and realize the decision that I made was for something bigger. And that if all these things were getting in the way was because something was trying to stop me from reaching greatness, right? Sometimes that greatness doesn't have to be quitting your job to go start a business. It could be leaving that job to get another job where you feel fulfilled. You know, one of my clients is an attorney and she walked away. She went to school, she got her thing. She passed the bar in New York State, which, you know, that's a big deal in New York. And she wound up getting a job as an attorney at a specific law firm and she hated it. And, you know, as I started to help her with that transition, one of the things that we started talking about was her why. What is your why? What is your core telling you? And we went through that process. Actually, Dean Graziosi has a program, an activity that talks about your why, but it's kind of like one of those little kids, like why and why and why, and you just drill down to that core of your why. And then that's how you know that you know that you know that it's time to make a step in faith. And I don't like calling it a leap, because sometimes a leap feels just so much bigger. It feels like you're going to jump into something, into maybe an empty bucket or something where you're not really sure if you're going to bounce back or not, right? But taking that step, what's step one? What does that step one look like for you? What does that step two look like for you? Because it's not the same thing for everyone. It's easy for anyone to say, oh, girl, quit your job. You'll be okay tomorrow. No, not necessarily, especially not when people depend on you. So understand what are some of those steps that you need to take. No, I always say, if you're going to start a business and you don't know what, do an inventory of your skills. What are some of those things that you absolutely love to do? But then also make an inventory list of the things that you would hate doing for yourself or for anyone else. And start to review some of those and just kind of like work on the process of elimination until you start to find what it is that you want to focus on. If it's a transition of career, again, following your purpose, listening to that purpose and that calling inside of you. I don't know if many of you journal, but I'm a huge believer in journaling, because I think that sometimes journaling takes our thoughts from our head and puts it on paper so that you're able to process what that is. And if you're feeling that you're in a position that maybe you're not walking in your purpose, or is not aligned with your values, your mission and vision for yourself, because yeah, companies have mission and visions, but you need to be aligned with it. And if you don't see alignment, then maybe start looking for some of these other companies that are aligned with what you're looking to do in the future. You're never going to be prepared, because we are women and that is what we do. I don't care if you have a little itty little bit of C, but that is what we do. We tend to overthink a big decision like that. So you're never going to feel prepared, but it is definitely worth trying.
Mm, yeah, it's never going to be the right time. But that, yes, that's true. This doesn't mean necessarily it's about starting another business, but just finding that job that does align with who you are. I want to go back to Dean's why. And I call that peeling back the onion layers.
Oh, yes.
Peeling back the onion until it makes you cry. Because when it makes you cry, you've hit it. You've hit your true why. Because sometimes we say the superficial things. Well, I want to do it for my family, or I want to do it because of this. And that's not really the deep reason. And when you can keep peeling it back. And I always say, if you can have somebody else ask you the questions, that's even better. Like a coach, or somebody you trust, your coach, somebody to do that. If you can't, journal it too, works. But having somebody ask you them really is, but yeah, I call that peeling back the onion.
Absolutely.
This podcast is sponsored by nextdaypodcast.com. They provide podcasters like me with podcast editing services with 24-hour turnarounds. They'll look after your intros, outros, your trailers, and just take the whole headache out of the whole editing process. You simply send them your raw recordings and they do the rest. And if you're not podcasting at the moment, check out their amazing podcast launch packages. That's what I started with. James from Next Day was amazing to work with and truly made it seamless to launch my podcast. And if you use the promo code UNCHARTERED10OFF, that's UNCHARTERED 10 off, you'll receive 10% off any of their products and services. That's nextdaypodcast.com. And don't forget to use your promo code.
And then the other thing I love is the, are you familiar with Clifton Strengths?
Yes.
Finders. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And I love having people take that assessment, because it does show you what's your DNA. Like, what are you naturally good at? And if you stay in that zone, you're much happier. And like you said, don't do the things that you're just not naturally good at. Don't try to, you know, like I said, I have very little C. It'd be crazy if I went into accounting, even though I love numbers, I love crunchy numbers, but the details of it or the technology, stuff, we got to know what's good, you know, what we're good at and what we're not to make us happy. Great advice on all of that. And if somebody's trying to do like their side hustle. And I know you said you had your side hustle for a while too, and balancing that, because you are so good at managing time. I mean, that's your thing, is productivity and management. What advice would you have for them, Jessica, if they're trying to balance that? Maybe they're not ready to step away from that secure, good job. Maybe they even like their job, but they just have this other thing, kind of like you did with the not-for-profit initially. And you were doing both. You weren't ready to walk away from that. How do you manage that all as far as the tactical time parts of it? Advice for that?
I say my best time management tool is time blocking. I absolutely love time blocking. So much so that that's why my planner line is designed for time blockers. And one of the things that I tell my clients is, do you really want to work 8 hours for your employer and not invest in 1 hour for yourself? And that's where habit tracking comes in, right? So you want to work on your business, something specifically on your business, whether, let's say you're in the beginning stages and you just want to research what's out there, you know, what is there a demand for? So taking the time to research, whether it's 1 to 3 hours a week, you don't have to, you know, a lot of people think that you just leave work now and then now you got to sit 4 or 5 hours to work on your business. And you don't have to do that. You just need to make sure that the time is committed and it's effective and it's productive. So you can do, you know, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, an hour here, an hour there, but at least an hour every other day is what I usually recommend, just to help you get started. And if there, you know, sometimes life happens, right? So somebody's game got changed, you've got to go to another, you know, field, and wait a minute, tonight is carpool night, right? So there's so many other things that are happening that can shift your schedule. Being flexible with your schedule, but if you know that something interfered with the time that you were going to invest in your business, add that to the following day, or, you know, or the next time that you're going to work on. That doesn't get you off the hook to not work on your business, is what I always say. That's where self-accountability comes in. If something happens and you need to shift, it's okay. Shift, be flexible, but just make sure that you add it to the next one, or break it, you know, into 15 minutes, 30 minutes. It doesn't really, doesn't have to be a full hour, but at least an hour every other day.
I like that, hour every other day. Doesn't feel as overwhelming as an hour every day, which I've heard a lot. I'm sure there's some listeners out there that are thinking like, well, I really want to do that. But Jessica, you don't get it. Like, I have 5 kids, 2 dogs, and a crazy schedule. Like, speak to that woman right now. You've been there. You're kind of that woman too.
What would you tell her? How bad do you want it? That would be the first question. How bad do you want it? If you want it bad, you're going to make the time. One of the things that works for me is my miracle morning process. If you've heard of Hal Elrod, he has this book called Miracle Morning for many people, entrepreneurs, direct marketers. You know, there's a lot of different things, but he talks about the savor list. So S is for silence, A is for affirmations, V is for visualizations, E is for exercise, which I'll tell you, I struggle with that, especially in the middle of the pandemic. And R is for scribing. I mean, he says it doesn't match, but, you know, but we get the gist. But it's really to write down, like, you know, journal. And I think that's really, really important in our lives. That process takes about 30 minutes. I take a full hour. My full hour has to do first thing in the morning. Remember, I had smaller kids too. Just because they're older now doesn't mean that my mornings, we weren't hustling, you know, all over the place. Oh my gosh. And school in Florida starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you can imagine from 5 a.m., it's like the music and, you know, these kids fighting over the bathroom. So you can imagine. But having that quiet time is important. If you have young children, I know a lot of women out there that wait until either they go to bed, which I will tell you, for me, that would not work because I am a morning person. By after 9 o'clock, I am delirious. I will not be at my best. My best is in the morning. So 5 o'clock in the morning, my alarm goes off. I get up, I get my coffee, I come back. And the first thing that I do, meditation, devotional, journal, sit quietly. Like, my phone is not even part of that process, you know. And there's many times that I grab my phone to look up something quick, or let me look up a Bible verse on the Bible app. You know what? It doesn't work because you get distracted. So it's really important to find the time that works best for you. If you're not a morning person, try 30 minutes earlier. It doesn't have to be a full hour. You know, work on it gradually until you get to where you need to be. But if you want it bad, you're going to make the time. And that could be your lunch break at work. It could be in the morning, or it could be at night after the kiddos go to bed. If your kids are older, if you have a teenager, you know, let them know what some non-negotiables are. Mm-hmm. And let them know that maybe Thursdays, it's mommy's non-negotiable time for 1 hour. I just need you guys to handle it. You know, put Frozen or something on for them to watch and just be able to spend that time by yourself effectively and productively.
Right. And I think so much, you know, we as moms can use our children as our excuse, but the example that we are setting for them is huge. It long-term, it means so much more than anything being there for mm-hmm. them. They can figure it out. You know, if they're over three or four, I mean, obviously you want them safe if they're little kids, but especially teenagers and things like that, like they want to see their parents happy. They want to see their parents succeed. And I was just talking to somebody else and she was sharing how when she was thinking of giving up her side hustle, which was making her really happy, which she knew she wanted to turn into a full-time business, it was her teenage daughter who said, "What? That's, you have to give things up like that, that you love?" And so use it as the reason why and to find that time. And you're right that when we really evaluate our days, I think most of us can whittle away a day. Like you said, you get on Facebook, forget it. It's like 2 hours later and you're like, what just happened in my life? You just take those little increments of time and use them effectively to work on your business or your side hustle, your hobby, whatever it is that gives you joy. Mm-hmm. Really good advice. And I love this. I don't do all the savers every morning, but I do. That quiet time is so sacred. How you bookend your day. Mm-hmm. You could handle anything in between as long as you bookend your day. And you got control of those two things. Mm-hmm. Any other time management tools that you could share with the listeners that have helped you manage your time better?
Mm-hmm. One of the other tactics I use is really a timer on my phone, but there's an app for it. It's called the Pomodoro. And the Pomodoro method basically takes you through intervals. So 25 minutes, you're focused on a task, then you take a 5 minute break. And then every time you go through four of those cycles, so 25 minute task, 5 minute break, go back to 25, 5 minute break. Then you get a longer break. It could be 15 minutes, 30 minutes. So I tend to do that with my phone, with my iPhone a lot because the Pomodoro app, it defaults to 25, 5. I mean, you can change it if you want to, but I prefer my timer on my phone so that if I wanted to work on a task for 45 minutes, then I set my timer and I'm specifically using on that task. I will tell you when I started doing that, it was hard because there were so many things that I wanted to do that I found myself a little scattered. But if you organize your time in such a way that you know, like maybe the first hour that you're working on a specific project, then you want to focus on at least three action items. So each action item, just focus 25 minutes on it and take a break in between. And that break doesn't mean sit on your desk and be on your phone. You know, that is walk away, disconnect, drink some water, hydrate, you know, eat a snack, whatever the case may be. But doing that in intervals helps a lot with focus. I don't know if you're experiencing this, but oh my gosh, Sherry, every conference now is through Zoom. And there's conferences that I want to go to this year that just because they're on Zoom for 2 or 3 days, I'm not going to do them because after about 45 minutes, you're losing my attention. You know, I found 45 minutes is my sweet spot. Anything outside of that, you're going to lose my attention. Unless we're engaging in conversation, it's going to be very hard for me to just sit there and listen. And then understanding my body also, why sign up for things in the evening when, again, I'm a morning person? You'll catch me at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and I am at my best. You know, my kids were like, oh my God, you're such a morning person. But then after 8, 9 o'clock at night, I'm not engaged. I'm really not listening. I'm probably thinking of, you know, I need to go jump in the shower and go to bed. So understanding your body to be aligned with what you need to get done. And if you're running out of fumes, save it for tomorrow when you're at your best, because otherwise you're going to do a half job, right? trying to get it done today, but you're really not fully focused. So those will be my two others.
I love that. I've never heard, what was it called again? The app or the
Pomodoro, Pomodoro.
Okay.
It's the Pomodoro method. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There's like even desktop, like timers and things like that, but it's 25, 5, 15. So 25 tasks, 5 minute break, and a 15 longer break after 4 intervals.
I love that. That definitely, because going back to strength finders, one of my number 10 is focus. And so that is my first of my, I can't think of the right term now, but the getting things done training. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show up till number 10 for me, but it is. I was just viewing it yesterday, and time block. That's why I love time block. You know, when I can focus on things and get clear my brain. So I'm just focused on one activity. That's when I'm at my best as far as being productive. So I'm definitely going to have to, I've set my timer and do that, but I've never heard of that method. I love that.
Yes.
That definitely makes sense.
Actually, the app that I have, I love because you can even put sounds on it. So you can do like the rain or the ocean or, you know, different things, you know, the train tracks coming. I don't know why I would focus with that, but
the one I have that in real life. I don't need that one.
Exactly. The one that works for me is the rain. I love listening to the rain. It's just very soothing and just very passive. And
so when you're doing your work, you can have that playing?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like sometimes just that kind of white noise. That's good.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jessica, that you want to add as far as, you know, any of the topics or even a topic we didn't cover before we bring our time together here to an end?
I would say mindset, you know, focus on mindset. I think mindset is so powerful when it comes to anything that we do. I say this all the time, like, you don't have to have my tools or work with me specifically in order to be successful. You just need to have the right mindset that whatever tool you work with or whatever person you work with, you're going to do the work, create results, right? And move forward. A lot of times, you know, I you know, my mantra in my Facebook group, I always talk about this: collaboration over competition, right? And I love when coaches say, if you don't hire me, you will not be able to succeed in XYZ. And I find that to be so untrue, because it doesn't matter. The coach can be the greatest coach in the world, but if you don't focus on that person's mindset, then it doesn't matter how much they invested. It doesn't matter what coach they worked with. The whole thing is that there has to be alignment, and then the mindset needs to be worked on first. It doesn't matter what planner you use. It doesn't matter what time management method you use. The key is mindset. And when you have that self-awareness is the most important thing. You know, if you catch yourself doing certain things that are taking you away from your purpose or from your goals, wake up. You know, that's the time that you catch yourself and remind yourself that there's something else there for you that you're supposed to be working on. And when you start to hear that negative talk, oh, well, why am I doing that now? It doesn't really matter. Think about your why. And, you know, I know, like you said, a lot of times people use, you know, their children or their families as an excuse. That is a reason why you need to do the things that you need to do. Whether, again, I'm not just talking entrepreneurship. It could be a shift in career. It could be just something as simple as taking better care of yourself, you know, investing in some self-care this year. I mean, I know 2020 gave us a step back to really think about everything that was happening around us and just learn to appreciate how much we have, right? Because there was so much loss. So just take the time to do that, you know, taking the time to focus on some of those things and focus on your mindset to be more positive and to be more of service to others, then I can tell you that that's going to take you so many different places that you will never even possibly imagine.
Such a great way to wrap up the show today. I appreciate that so much. And so much great advice from just having the courage, finding the courage to step away from something, even if it is good, if it's not the right thing for you right now. Like Jessica said, even if it's a little step, you don't have to jump in full force, just little steps. The time management tips, I can't wait to try. I already forgot how it was spelled, so I'll have to put that in the show notes. I'll have you type it in for me and put it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
And the mindset. Mindset is so huge. And yeah, so we'll just leave. I could go on and on, but we're going to because I don't get, because like you said, most of us can't, we get distracted after about 45 minutes. So in the show right now, we hopefully will have you captivated and we will say goodbye for today. But thank you, Jessica, for hopping on the show today. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. I love being here. Thank you, Sherry, for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey friends, real quick before you go, if you found value in today's episode, can you do me a huge favor? Hit the subscribe button and leave a review. And then let's connect on Instagram. Just look for Sherry Miter. Feel free to DM me and let me know what you enjoyed most about today's show. And last, but probably the most important, head over to my website at unchartedentrepreneurs.com to schedule your free discovery call. Or if you know you need a business coach to help you work on some new strategies to scale your business, then I'd invite you to grab a vision strategy session. In 90 minutes, you'll have a clearer vision and action steps to get you headed in the right direction. Mention this podcast to receive a discount on your first session.